Just tell us what you've got to do, Det.
Det relayed the message from JB. Doc checked on his old cron.
Time to spare as well. I would say that you have done a fine job. Pray take a second to get your breath back while we finalize our preparation.
Shit, how do you ever get your breath back, the amount of words you use?
Don't worry about that, either. You got any intelligence, you soon get used to it.
The two women exchanged glances of mutual loathing. Doc picked up on this.
Save that for those we're about to face. I would say, from your expressions, that if you transferred that animosity toward the enemy, then you could eradicate them on your own.
Jack looked toward where he knew that Doc and his group were hiding. In the dim light, he could see no sign of Det. There was sparse cover between the two areas, and he knew that, with his light-sensitive eyes, he should be able to spot her moving among the undergrowth. The gate warrior had to have reached Doc and imparted her message. The redoubt door had been opening as she arrived and was now still. He was almost certain she'd reached her final destination and that the armorer and Doc would lead their parties out on cue, but he didn't have time to wait for Det. She could take care of herself.
We go!
Jack broke cover, moving rapidly across the land. He hit the track's compressed earth, feeling the uneven surface hard beneath his feet. He was moving at speed, the .357 Magnum Colt Python clasped in his fist. He could hear the movement of others behind him, some dropping back, others keeping pace. Landmines. Earth and small stones rained down on the runners. Jack didn't flinch. He could only focus his attention on the redoubt door ahead. JB saw Jack break cover and lead his people forward. The albino was setting a rapid pace, and the armorer signaled for his group to move. But first he took a handful of stones and threw them in a sweeping arc over the land ahead. Some pattered onto the earth with only a small puff of dust to mark their landing, but two of them drew results. Other stones soon flew from the hands of warriors as JB began to move forward, marking his own personal path by sweeping the area immediately before him with a long branch. The first wire trap was found. One thing was for sure, the illuminated ones had guarded their redoubt well, for the mines and traps were well hidden.
Just be careful, people! Shit!
Like the armorer, the gate warriors were too wise to take anything for granted, and were making their own paths forward, following the direction dictated by their sweeping sticks assiduously. The crossroad sects, however, were slacker. They'd throw the stones to try to find mines, and would attempt to sweep the oncoming path, but they had trouble sticking to that which they tested. It wasn't long before a stray foot encountered the edge of a snare trap. The crossroader felt a pull on his foot that at first didn't hurt. This was delayed by the initial shock, and it was only when he saw the snare snap back, throwing a severed foot still booted across the earth, that he realized it was his own.
Oh, Jesus.
JB looked up momentarily to see how far ahead Jack's group was. It was a given that they'd be the first to the redoubt. They weren't slowed by the mines and wires. However, the armorer was concerned that the other war parties shouldn't fall too far behind. So far, his group was keeping pace fairly well. He spared a glance to see how Doc's group was faring.
By the three Kennedys! If this does not bring any opposition out of hiding, then nothing will.
Let's hope that Ryan and Gloria have got them too occupied, then.
Cat had been sticking close to Doc since the charge had begun. She'd noticed that he wasn't faring so well, and that he'd contracted the pox. She liked the old man, and she was smart enough, despite what Det had said, to know that Doc was more vulnerable than the others. As were the others, Doc's war party had been sweeping the ground and using the stone-throwing method to try to clear their own paths. Doc had already been outpaced by a few of the Amazons, but was still near the front because of Kat's help. She could see that he had difficulty moving and breathing as the disease took a firm hold on him. So she swept ahead for him.
Come, my dear. We must make more speed. We cannot be left behind. Our strength is in depth, and we cannot disappoint our friends under such circumstances.
Don't worry, Doc. You stick with me and we'll get there.
The last woman who uttered such words was blown to oblivion by her own stupidity.
Well, fuck that. I ain't Margia.
Jack slowed as his party reached the redoubt door. An incredible sight greeted them. The wag that his friends had driven in had just intercepted the closing door. They were stunned to see the wag being crushed and Ryan leaping to safety.
We go in now. Keep close to wall. Push up and support.
Jack dashed to one side of the tunnel and pushed a gate warrior toward the other. They set up two chains of warriors to feed into the redoubt. The Strands advanced rapidly toward the point where the Vanguard force had established a position, firing at the illuminated ones through a gap in the jammed sector. The advancing fighters didn't fire. Until they were in position, there was an outside chance that they may hit their own people, and the gap through which it was possible to fire at the enemy was restricted by the jammed WAG's bulk.
Hey, Ryan! We here!
What about the others?
On way!
Outside the redoubt, both JB and Doc had brought their war parties through the hidden obstacles with a minimum of casualties. There were numerous abrasions and small cuts from flying stones, but only a few people had fallen prey to the snares. It had been much more successful than either could have hoped for thus far. They converged on the redoubt entrance, coming off the booby-trapped sides and onto the safety of the track. Ahead, they could see that the way was clear to the point where the WAG sat crushed beneath the sector. They could also see the two warrior groups taking cover in the area directly to the rear of the smashed WAG. There were only a few desultory exchanges of fire, and JB and Doc both could figure that the attack was stalled. The armorer turned to the United Force.
Go in quick. Take cover to the sides. Await further orders.
He waved them in, and the attackers began to feed into the redoubt, flowing past him. He turned to Doc.
I figure we should see what Ryan and Gloria have to say about all this. Looks good for a full assault, but...
But it has been a tad too simple thus far, would you not say? Only a few traps to traverse? I would have expected more, which suggests they have something in reserve.
That's what we thought last time.
Yet still...
Yeah, I know. Look, Doc, how you feeling anyway? I mean, honestly.
In truth, John Barrymore, I feel as though I have a horde of stickies with those loathsome suckered fingers crammed into my lungs. I fear that the pox is finally taking a hold on me. My skin feels chafed and sore, and look.
Doc held open his shirt to reveal a network of pustules and scabs that were starting to spread across his chest and stomach.
Damn.
Damned indeed. I may not have long, my dear friend. And while I will fight to the last, I fear that I may not be as reliable as I would wish.
Don't worry about old Big Mouth here. I'll keep him on his feet and fighting till we get through. You buy the farm, Doc? I have to buy it first, yeah?
I appreciate your concern, madam.
Fine, but let's cut the words. Doc, you and Cat get to the front on one side, and I'll go for the other. We need to get the game plan sorted quickly.
Most assuredly. Let us proceed.
John, glad you could make it and join the fun.
Sorry, Millie. I was a little detained. What did I miss?
Not as much as we'd like, I guess.
Baby scratched his head, pushing back his fedora before taking off his spectacles and polishing them. He was deep in thought.
So, the number one priority is to push them back and move down into the redoubt, which we can only do if we drive them back far enough to get access to the other side of that door and bring it up fully. Otherwise, we're sitting targets trying to squeeze through that space.
That's about it.
JB put on his spectacles and pushed them up the bridge of his nose, his eyes shining as he viewed the way ahead.
Leave it to me.
You're going to blow it, aren't you?
He darted across the corridor, using the WAG as cover and keeping low.
Ryan, I think I've figured a way to drive them back and keep the next sector up while we secure this one and get it up for the full assault.
You're gonna blow the door, aren't you?
You know it.
You think that'll work?
If not, we're fucked anyway. We have to get past them and get that door opened. I figure this is worth the risk. It can be done if you give me enough cover.
Try it. You're the only one I trust with such a crazy idea.
JB swung his canvas bag off his shoulder and began to mold a small lump of Plasex.
I hope to hell I've judged this right.
He added a timer fuse to the small bomb.
If not, I'll bring down the whole damn tunnel.
Well, we'll just have to trust to your skill, heaven help us.
Funny. Well, I'm ready. Keep me covered. I'll keep low, so just fire over me and try to stop those cold-hard bastards from firing back.
Got it. Good luck.
I thought it was skill.
The armorer dropped to the floor, the M4000 in one hand, the bomb in the other. Laser fire heated the air above his head as he crawled past the door stanchion and into the no-man's land beyond. Following Ryan's cue, the war party on the other side of the WAG began a heavy barrage of fire, keeping the enemy pinned in their cover. Climbing to his knees, Jimmy raised the M4000. He knew that some of the illuminated ones would break cover to fire on him. As they leveled their laser blasters, he fired at them.